earlier, our Bhima Karma, who is known to me from our stay in New Vrindavan, to come, so he will accompany me for this particular bhajan on the Mridanga. In case you don't know, this is Bhima Karma Prabhu. This is his very wonderful wife. Good name? Ratri Keli. And this is Kamala Manjari. Star in the world of bhajan, Hare Krishna. So, we will do the Kalu melody. We have a little Vrindavan melody. It's a little raga which I heard is sung in the evening. And I thought of singing this with all of you when we were today in the Radha-Raman temple. Actually, we have been requested to do bhajans for Radha-Raman tomorrow at 5:45. So we will then sing for Radha-Ramanji in the temple. And so as we went into the temple, they were playing some wonderful ragas. Radha-Raman was in some very colorful surroundings. As we entered the temple, we really left the busy world behind and we immediately entered into the very wonderful Vrindavan atmosphere. And I really feel that as you are in Vrindavan, you should make an attempt to leave the busy world behind. Now, the busy world is not the world outside, it's the world inside your mind. Hare Krishna. So we will now try to leave the busy world of our thoughts behind and absorb ourselves in the chanting. Okay?
Hare Rama, 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 Rama. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Hare, Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Hare, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
Today I want to make a little, like we always do when we are in Vrindavan, a little Krishna Katha. But before I start, thank you very much. You can give this to the Vedanga player. Vedanga player. You want to thank both Nandalal Nandadulal and also Bhima Kama for their wonderful surrender play. And one for Anna, both of you with a card. For Nandadulal. But please keep it, don't. What is in this bag? An ocean of flowers. Thank you. Yes. Yes. Before starting, I would like to extend a very warm welcome to all of you. We are actually invited at 12:30 to attend a very special aarti to Sri Radha Raman, who is the most powerful deity of the universe, according to one statement of Srila Prabhupada. And then after the arati at 12:45, we are invited to take prasad in the temple room of Radha Raman. This is something very special. And then in the evening at 5:45, that is 15 minutes before 6 o'clock, we are requested to do bhajan during the arati for Radha Raman, which I think is a wonderful privilege. So if you wish to come, you are more than welcome. I just would like to say, after this discussion, there may be some more devotees who are on their way to come here. I will have to take a count how many of you wish to come, so that according to this count, the proper amount of prasadam is prepared. Now, if you have to leave earlier and you wish to come for prasadam, you could leave your good name with Sadanandi. Sadanandi always has a writing tool in her instrument. And you can say, I would like to come, one person, two persons, and then the appropriate arrangements could be made. But after this talk, we will take a count. When we are in the Holy Dham, we should hear about Lord Krishna. Once Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was saying that Dham means Naam. When we are in the holy name, we should concentrate on the holy name of the Lord and hear the holy name. Now, as we chant the holy name, something very wonderful should be aspired for. what should be aspired for is that the holy name will pierce through our material ear and flood our consciousness with the wonderful pastimes and the qualities and pastimes of Lord Krishna. And an example has been given. You can see in our Bhimakama ji, he has done what is very Vedic, an earring in the ear. There is what is called a Kana Bheda Sanskara, which is performed to young boys. Your son has already done the Kana Bheda Sanskara?
No.
It will be done maybe later. It is during that time the ear is pierced of the young boy, also of the young girl, so that later earrings can be put in. I do not know if it is done for little Kamala. It is little young, yes, little young. I do not know if it's also done for women, but for boys I know. So in the same way, as a young boy, as this Kana Bheda Sanskara made, so that the earring can always be put in the earring, we have to be prepared that in our case the ear piercing ceremony is done. That is, that we hear the holy name free from offenses, and in this way the holy name will come with a flood of his sweet form and sweet name, sweet qualities into our hearts. That is very important. Someone who has not done the spiritual Kana Bheda Sanskara, welcome. Someone who has not performed the spiritual ear-piercing ceremony in chanting the holy name will never hear the holy name. His tongues are moving, and but there is not a drop of prema, not a drop of love, because the name has not reached his heart. It is somewhere in the ether, and it becomes a counting game for Hare Krishna. So now we want to hear a little bit about Krishna's sweet qualities, and hopefully this will help a little there. Kana Bheda Sanskara. Let me see if our young boy is satisfied. One quality of Lord Krishna is that he is Satyavakya. He is supremely truthful. Rupa Goswami's definition of truthfulness means he who never lies is called truthful. And Prabhupada talks about Lord Krishna that his words are always true and never have proven false. That's always what Krishna says. We know that this is always the truth. Now this has become was very important for Mother Kunti. Kunti, the mother of the Pandavas, heard before the battle of Kurukshetra a promise from Lord Krishna. The promise was, I will bring your 5 sons back. No one of the... there will be always 5 Pandavas. Now you all know that there were not 5 Pandavas, but how many Pandavas were there? 6 Pandavas, including Kana. Now, Krishna, at that time, Kunti did not know that the little boy, Kana, was still alive. She had given him to Mother Ganga when he was so small, like maybe our little youngest audience. He was put in a little basket, and Kunti did not know that her son that becomes a powerful hero, Kana. So Kana, Krishna had said, I will bring 5 Pandavas back. He had not said, I will bring all your sons back. At the end, now throughout the Mahabharata war, Krishna protected with full determination the Pandavas. And there were many occasions when the Pandavas, each one of them, was almost killed in the battle. Now, at the end, when Krishna was standing there, having saved the 5 Pandavas, Kunti glorified him. He said, O Kunti, your 5 sons will survive the war, and I will deliver them to you in front of everyone. This, Krishna, is exactly what you said. And it has come to pass. Even the sunshine may one day become cool, and the moonshine one day become hot. But still, your promise, Krishna, will not fail. O Kunti, your 5 sons will survive the war, and I will deliver them to you in front of everyone. This, Krishna, is exactly what you said. So, Lord Krishna, his words are always true. When he has said something, you can be rest assured that what Krishna has said will come to pass, will happen. Even if everything in the world looks as if this will not happen. And I would like now to give a few examples of Krishna's words which are extremely important for every practicing devotee. Words of Lord Krishna which we can count on. Words which will remain true even if everything in the world will leave us. We always have these words of Krishna to count on. Do you feel this is relevant?
Yes.
Do you feel this will give you encouragement? Parikshit, yes. So, I would now give some examples from the Shastras of Lord Krishna's promise. Krishna has promised, if one thinks of me at the time of death, he will attain me without doubt. I personally think we should rest our life on this word of Lord Krishna. He who thinks of me at the time of death, he will surely attain me. To think of Krishna, you have to enter into a school. The school is called the school of absorption. Jiva Goswami has said what it means to be absorbed in Krishna. It means that your consciousness is always thinking of Krishna. He has given the example, which some of you might have heard, that if you take a piece of cloth and give it into a blue color, then the color of the cloth will change. This will not be a saffron cloth any longer. Or there will not be a pink rose color. It will become blue. This is how we have to think of Krishna. A good example is Balaram. In Nandagram, Balaram has a dark blue color, not white. The reason is that while playing with Krishna intensely every day, he thinks so much of Krishna that he has become deep, dark blue. Hare Krishna. He has colored himself. This is the explanation. So in our spiritual life, we want to be Krishna-rized. We want to color our consciousness with the thought of Krishna. Kaham Krishna? Where is my Krishna? This is how we want the thing. This is a school of absorption. Radhikeli, in your personal private attention, that room is available for whatever a mother does here, if ever. So we have to learn to think of Krishna at the time, and we have to learn now, so that at the time of death, when everything goes topsy-turvy and wild, we will not have any problem to think of him. There is another sweet promise of Krishna. No, I meant this room.
No, my house is right there on the
front. Oh, sorry.
Thank
yeah.
You
very much. Yes. Another promise of Krishna. Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tatvata jaktva deham puna janma naiti mangeti sarjuna. Our bhakti shastris if one knows the reasons for my appearance and activities in this world, he will never have to be reborn, but will attain my abode. You have to study, why does Krishna do things? What is his mood? What is his desire? And you have to understand his activities, and you will surely go to Krishna. When there is Krishna Katha, three things must be in place. First, what is the Leela? Second, is the detail of the Leela there? Third, is the intention of Krishna, the purpose of the Leela revealed? Then you can have proper Krishna Katha, Hare Krishna. So if you know about Krishna, you will never be reborn, but you attain the abode of the Lord. There is another very nice promise of Lord Krishna. He says, if one offers him simply a leaf, this is a very special leaf. A leaf, but Krishna wants to, even a more special leaf, a tulsi leaf. A fruit or water with devotion, Krishna will personally accept it. You must know that Krishna proved this point, that it must be done with devotion. When he came as a peace counselor on behalf of the Pandavas to the Kauravas, at that time the Kauravas, in order to bribe him and win him over to their side, had arranged the hall, the palace of the greatest of the 100 sense enjoyers, Dushasan. He was the most sensual person. His palace really was top. They had Dushasan was not there. It was all given to Krishna. And in the morning, they had arranged the best cooks of the country to perform, to cook for Krishna. So in the evening, Krishna went to Vidura. In the morning he didn't show up for the feast. Vidura was so excited that in his bewilderment of love, he gave Krishna the peel of the bananas, not the bananas. So in the morning, Krishna came after the feast. Duryodhana said, why didn't you come to the feast? And Krishna said, see, in order to eat, there have to be two conditions fulfilled. One is, the person is hungry, that's why he wants to eat. And the other reason is, the person who offers the food has to offer it with love. Don't we? Sometimes it happens that we are not hungry, But the person who is our Domnyaks, our host, yes, has so much love and affection that although we are full, because he offers it with love, we have to eat, and we eat until we burst into 1,000 pieces, because it's the love which we take. So Krishna said, I can never be hungry because I have a transcendental body. Sachit Ananda Vikraha. So I did not eat, I didn't have a need to eat your feast. And the second condition was also not fulfilled, because you don't love me, Duryodhana. Therefore I couldn't eat the feast. If I would have had a material body full of hunger, I would have come. And if you would have loved me, I would have come. But because I was neither hungry, nor did you have love, I couldn't come and eat. Good point. So Krishna says, if you offer him with devotion, two times the word bhaktya is used in that shloka, even simple things, Krishna will accept it. Another promise which Krishna gives, I've almost reached the end of the promise, is a very important shloka. Manmana bhava mat bhakto majaji mang namaskuru mame vaisyasi satyam te ati jane priyo sime. Always think of me. Become my devotee. Worship me and offer your homage unto me. Thus you will come to me without fail. I promise you this because you are my very dear friend. So in theory, Nishingapriya, and in practice also, if you think of Krishna, become his devotees, worship him, and offer your homage to him, then you will come to Krishna because you are his very dear friend. This is wonderful. 4 points. I personally arrange my life according to these 4 points very consciously. Every day I want to think of Krishna, I want to do some service, I worship him in some ways, I go to the temples for instance and offer him at aratik in my mind, and I pay my obeisances to Krishna. That's the easiest. So Krishna says, you will come to me. Now there are other two important promises which I want to talk to you about, because we are in Vrindavan. When Radharani was with Krishna, after Krishna had left her, this is in Lalita Madhava. See, Lalita Madhava describes how Srimati Radharani, after Krishna has gone to Mathura, is totally in separation from Krishna. And one day, she cannot tolerate the separation any longer. She goes with all her sakis to Keshigad. She says goodbye to Lalita and goodbye to Vishakha, and says, I will end my life here and now. And then she jumps into the Yamuna and disappears. What she does is, she has worshipped all the time whom? Surya Dev, Surya Narayan, Krishna. So Surya Narayan takes her to the sun, and she comes to Dwaraka as the daughter of the worshipper of the sun, that is the daughter of Satyarajit. She is known in that form as Satyabhama. Then, as the Leela unfolds, as a very intense Leela, one day she turns back into Radharani and says to Krishna, "My dear Krishna, I have one request. Come to Vrindavan, and in Vrindavan, never disappoint the desires of those who wish to find you by their bhajan." And Krishna, who has seen that Radharani jumped into the Yamuna, went to Surya Narayan, came back as Satyabhama, has to say Tatastu, because he is overwhelmed by that sacrifice of Srimati Radharani. So that any devotee who goes to Vrindavan to find Lord Krishna will find him. That's his promise. You will find him. You just have to want Krishna and accept Krishna. And that is the only problem which we have. Then Krishna says, there's something which Yoga Maya wanted to show us, Radharani. And then when Yoga Maya comes on the scene and shows that to Radharani that they never left Vrindavan. They all of a sudden have a vision of Vrindavan, and all this, the idea of Dwaraka, Krishna going to Mathura and Dwaraka, was only a dream. Nothing more. Krishna is always together with Radharani in Vrindavan, because the Shastras say Krishna will never take even one step out of Vrindavan. Now, for those of you for whom this is too complicated, no problem. Just hear it and relish it. Steffi smiles. Oh, good. I don't have to write an examination on this. another promise was given by Lord Krishna to Narada Muni. Narada Muni says, "My dear Krishna, please give the blessing that there are three things which your bhaktas should never get enough." You might not think, "Oh, hopefully he says prasadam." No, Narada Muni says, make that the young devotees will never get enough of sadhana. They always want to have more. No, the young devotees, I'm sorry, will never get enough of your mercy. The young devotees don't like to do sadhana so long. Please not more than 2 hours, please. The young devotee should never get enough of your mercy. They should always say, "More mercy, more mercy, more mercy." Not, "I have enough." The little older devotees should never get enough of sadhana. Like, "I've chanted now 6 hours, but I have not even started. I want to chant more rounds." You know, this is what the older devotees feel. "I want more of this wonderful bhakti sadhana." And the very advanced devotees, please make that they never get enough of your love. Prema. Even the very advanced devotees would say, "I don't love Krishna. Not even one drop. Can you show me where is Krishna? Can you?" They say, "You have a book. Please, can I see the book? There must be some information of Krishna in that book." Oh, the devotee says, "You come from an assembly of Vaishnavas. What did the Vaishnavas discuss? Please tell me. I need to know." How eager the devotees are. Devotee means eager. Materialist means dull. Hare Krishna. Sadanandi writes this down. This is Sachinanda Swami. It is not so great, yes. In the midst of... Not you. There's one... As Rupa Goswami says, there's one prize which you have to give for Krishna. Prema, that is eagerness, your lova. And materialists are very...
No, I mean the Narada Muni.
That is in Brihadbhagavatamrita, in the end of the first part. Please read it. It's really wonderful. It's the end of the first part. So these are Krishna's promises. Let me summarize for you. One who thinks of Krishna at the time of death, Krishna has said, he will come to me. One who knows the reasons for Krishna's appearance and activities in this world will never be reborn. Study this. One who thinks of Krishna and becomes his devotee, worships him and offers his obeisances, will come to Krishna. And one who offers him simply a leaf and a fruit with devotion, Krishna will accept it. My dear devotees, Krishna will keep his promise because he is Satyavakya. He is truthful. As Prabhupada says, a person whose word of honor is never broken is called truthful. It is said when Krishna says, you will come to me, in this Manmana Bhava Madhbhaktu verse, Krishna touches his heart. Vishwana Chakravarti Thakur says, I'm really serious about this. You know, when I say something to Bhima Kama, I must tell you something. It was such a wonderful drive which we did to Philadelphia, or what was it, Pittsburgh. And I touched my heart. And then Bhima Kama, he's really serious. He liked the drive and our discussions. It was the storytelling drive. So when Krishna touches his heart, you will come to me. Believe this. Believe me. Then you should believe Krishna. You should make your life simple. Think of Krishna. Become devotees. Worship him. Offer your homage. Krishna is not a liar. He gave a promise to the Pandavas. 5 Pandavas will be there. He will keep his promise. Don't be so mental to think, no, not in my case. Now, sometimes Krishna will break a vow. But this is not considered to be not Satyavakya. He will break sometimes a lesser vow in order to protect his ultimate vow, to always protect his sincere devotees. There is one vow which is the highest for Krishna, and this Krishna will never touch. It is to always protect his sincere devotees. And there are examples in the Shastras. For instance, Krishna said at the beginning of the battle of Kurukshetra that he personally would not fight. You remember this. Arjuna and Duryodhana came simultaneously to Krishna and Dwaraka to ask his participation. And Krishna was resting, so Arjuna said, you have to help me, I think at the head of Krishna, isn't it? Feet. At the feet of Lord Krishna, and Duryodhana sat at the head of the Krishna. Now when Krishna awoke, he said, I know that both of you are here, and I know what you have come to ask me for. You want my help. Duryodhana said, so Krishna said, I will say to you, either one person can have my armies, or one person can have me. without armies, and I will not fight. Have to see our little boy. It's restless. We have to entertain him. No, no, please. We are almost finished. Show him the pictures. He will like to see. Yes. That little boys need some variety of... Yeah. No, please look sufficiently. Duryodhana says, can I please ask you first? Krishna said, no. When I woke up, I looked at my feet and I saw Arjuna, and he has to ask me first. Arjuna said, my dear Lord, I only want you. Even if you don't fight, I want you. Duryodhana went, wow, very good. My request is fulfilled. And I want your armies, Krishna, all your inconquerable soldiers. Yes, with Krishna. So he had given his promise he will not fight, but he broke his promise when his dear devotee Arjuna was attacked by great grandfather Bhishma. You know, one evening in the battle, Duryodhana came to Bhishma, said, I think you are not fighting. You love the Pandavas. What type of warrior you are? You are not on my side. Tomorrow you need to fight and you need to do something extraordinary. And Bhishma said, okay, this is enough. Don't speak any longer. You are hurting my Kshatriya, Anna. Tomorrow I will kill Arjuna. Or Krishna will have to break his promise and protect Arjuna. I will fight like anything. So this is what happened. Arjuna actually was already on the ground, and Bhishma was overcoming him with his Kshatriya strength. Then in the last moment, Krishna couldn't keep himself any longer. He just jumped down from the chariot. He ran towards Bhishma. He took a broken chariot wheel and he hurled it like this. He was so much enraged that the earth began to shook as he trampled the earth. He ran towards Bhishma. His sword fell from his chest and exposed his beautiful, supernatural, beautiful chest. And his hair became gray by the dust of the battlefield. And he came and Arjuna just jumped up from the ground, took the knees of Krishna and said, Krishna, don't break your promise. No one will believe you in the future when you say something. Krishna said, I don't care. Because he had said in the Bhagavad Gita, I protect my devotee. And for Krishna, this is the most important thing. Everything else is secondary or thirdary. Is that an English word? It's a new English word. Tertiary. Yes. So, in this way, Lord Krishna has really broken his promise. Of course, when he was in Dwaraka, he said, I will not fight with a weapon, and the chariot wheel is not a real weapon. It can be considered a weapon, it can be considered a non-weapon also, because it's actually a wheel, not designed as a weapon. So Krishna has his ways to somehow get around, like he did when he was as Nrisimha avatar, when he went around the promises of which he had given earlier to whom?
Brahma.
Yes. Yes. knowing that Krishna had the reputation for being sometimes tricky, Krishna told Arjuna, O son of Kunti, you declared boldly that my devotee never perishes. You must know this is Krishna's ultimate promise. And because Vishwanath Chakravarti says, because it is known that the people of Mathura are sometimes a little very truthful. Therefore he says, you better say it, because if I say it, they will say, you come from Mathura, you have stolen butter when you were young. So therefore Krishna said, this is the ultimate promise. So my dear devotees, you must know that Krishna will protect you on your stormy way back home, back to Godhead. Krishna is there for you. Krishna will never leave you. He will always come to your protection. And don't please think that protection only means physical protection. The real enemies are within. Lust, greed, enviousness, and illusion. Krishna will come to your help. Now for a devotee, our little boy is, otherwise the pictures are no longer safe here. Now, Shuno, please know that Krishna expects you as his devotees to also become truthful. The demigods have once prayed, O Lord, you never deviate from your vow, which is always perfect, because whatever you decide is perfectly correct and cannot be stopped by anyone. You are the supreme truth. And then they say, and here it is where we have to pay our full attention, indeed, unless one is completely truthful, one cannot achieve your favor, which therefore cannot be achieved by hypocrites. If you wish to read this in your own reading time, it's 10th canto, 2nd chapter, text 26. You must be truthful with Krishna. Krishna cannot be tricked. Krishna is wanting your true heart. He doesn't want that you live a lie, even not the lie of an advanced devotee. Krishna wishes that you are truthful. And you must truthfully address also the issues where you need some correction in your life. That's why we have the association of devotees, and that's why we also accept a spiritual master for correction wherever we are maybe not, there's some work, groundwork needs to be done. There is a very striking and for me personally a very important Leela in Chaitanya Leela. There is a time when Lord Chaitanya shows his divine speed opulences to everyone. And he calls his different devotees in, except for the singer Mukunda. Now you must say this, you must know that Mukunda could sing so wonderfully that anyone who heard Mukunda sing would immediately get tears of love in his eyes. This is how the quality of his singing was. And you would hear he would sing, and devotees would cry in ecstasy of love for Krishna. This was Mukunda. So, but Mukunda had not the power to enter the room where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed himself. The devotees said, Beta? Beta means sit. Come, Vashan. Come. Come. But Mukunda had simply not the power to enter the room of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Why not? I will not tell you immediately. Then the devotee said to Mahaprabhu, Mahaprabhu, something is with Mukunda. He doesn't want to come in. Please call him. Then it will make it easier for him to come in. He's waiting by the door. Mukunda said, Lord Chaitanya said, I will not see the rascal. When Mukunda heard the Lord shouting, I will not see the rascal, he fell down before the door. And he thought, I will give up this sinful body at once because Lord Chaitanya will not see me. And then the devotees were all hurt, but this is Mukunda, he thinks so good. He has love in his heart. The Mukunda said, before I die, just ask Lord Chaitanya, when will I see him? Sorry, I'm too fast because I don't want to avoid the tragedy of this. Then the devotees asked him, why do you not want to see Mukunda? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this rascal, he is, when he is with the impersonalists, he talks like the impersonalists. He's not truthful. He said, Brahman is supreme. When he is with the devotees, he talks like the devotees. This is not good. On one side, he strikes my body with an iron club, clang, 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 by saying the Lord has no form. Krishna. I do not want to see Mukunda. Mukunda became a... He said, he decided to give up his life, and he said, please find out after how many births the Lord will see me. So the devotees went in, you know, for Mukunda. How many births? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, after 10 million births, I will see him. And Mukunda heard that the Lord would see him after 10 million births. He jumped up, danced in ecstasy before the door. He said, I will see my Lord. Now please imagine this. Most of us think, yeah, I will go back to Godhead maybe after this life, when everything goes well and there are some kind Vaishnavas who chant Hare Krishna when I die. Or when at most it will take two lives. I will be born as in the Vaishnava family, like our little boy who is born to Navadvip and his wonderful wife. Mukunda was prepared for 10 million births. 10 million! It is inconceivable, isn't it? It is simply inconceivable. 10 million births, and he was happy because after 10 million births, I will see my Lord. He was, no further question. Lord Chaitanya saw a tremendous amount of devotion in Mukunda. He immediately called him, Vashu, come. And immediately he gave him his mercy. Now for those of you who are skeptical and cannot believe this, you must know that Mukunda had, before he met Lord Chaitanya, an impersonal guru who told him, Bhakti is not supreme, but jnana is supreme. And because of this, Mukunda was in a difficult situation, you know. His guru was an impersonalist, and you know, should he always argue with his previous guru? It's a little uncomfortable situation, I think you can understand. But here Mahaprabhu teaches us, our words must be truthful. Not that you say one thing here and the other thing there. Devotees must learn to be have integrity is the English word. Therefore the demigods here say, you are the supreme truth. Indeed, unless one is completely truthful, one cannot achieve your favor, which therefore cannot be achieved by hypocrites. The typist is here in hypocritics, but it's hypocrites, yes. So my dear devotees, today I want to request all of you to make a double meditation. Think about Krishna's truthfulness and his promises to you as his devotee, and think how you can become a true Vaishnava or Vaishnavi who's not making lip service to Krishna but heart service to Krishna. This is very important in this discussion. Hare Krishna. I want to end here. Thank you very much for listening. I will see if you have any fast questions, and then I will give you prasadam and take the count for the evening. Parvati.
To put it to the test, can you truthfully tell me whether you're going to give a Bhagavad Gita class tomorrow night?
I have now, my program is, sure, I cannot give tomorrow night, but the day after tomorrow, if it is possible for you.
Yeah.
Is that possible?
Oh,
good. The day after tomorrow. That's Wednesday. The 26th, most probably. Tomorrow is the 25th. Then the 26th, yeah. Yeah. So when is it? Which time? 7
is
o'clock?
It 5:30.
Oh, 5:30. Okay, so
finishes generally 6:30.
Then I will definitely try to. I was thinking it starts at 7 o'clock, mm-hmm. But that was maybe. Let me please. I have to check my notes really, because I'm a little pressured. Yes, any philosophy. Thank you very much, and I really want to. This is a truthful statement. I really want to do. Somehow it has to be made possible. Tomorrow it's then also. Any question? Yeah, Bhagavati.
Krishna again lives in Down, like his extension that lives in Down, because this aspect, Uddhavata Radharani, is also like only the extension of Radharani who goes out of Vrindavan.
There are different forms of Srimati Radharani, and when Radharani goes to Kurukshetra, which is not in Vrindavan, then she is in one special form, which is not that form of which is in Vrindavan. That is what I have heard once, but I do not know anything about detail. I know as much as in Krishna. When Krishna left Vrindavan, then he stayed in his form. Prabhupada writes in his bhava form of loving exchanges. Now, which are the forms of Srimati Radharani, and which form stays in Vrindavan, and which one leaves Vrindavan? I've heard something, but I have not seen the quotation from the scripture. There's one statement, but it is not solidified by any Goswami, so therefore I don't wish to repeat the statement. Radharani, yes, they always stay here, and Vrindavan is never empty. It will be some form of Srimati Radharani. Wonderful, isn't it? But I don't think. But I have not heard that it's a Lakshmi form, you know, like something like that. Dini.
As Krishna said that people being Sakyam at the time of death should be so happy. I have recently heard that one who actually tries to sincerely be his devotee during the life, even if he somehow doesn't think at the time of death, he is somehow obliged to be able to take care of him at the time of death.
Yes, Srila Prabhupada writes about this in one purport, that due to a very traumatic death, there may be sicknesses in the body which are very engaging and traumatic, or maybe an accident which happened so fast and so cruel, that Krishna at the time of death will enter the mind of his devotees on his own accord. In other words, it's not that the devotee calls out to him in memory, in loving memory. Krishna will come on his own account. But this is for a great, for a very dedicated devotee. I've heard from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's statement that at the time of death, the sincere devotee, Krishna will reveal to the devotee his spiritual identity and the spiritual world. And you know about Narada Muni, how he left the body and his spiritual identity was there. The two things, leaving the body and spiritual identity, happened as thunder and the flash. This is a simultaneous occurrence. So it is Krishna who at the time of death gives the devotee, tells the devotee his spiritual identity. But I really think this applies to a very sincere devotee. I once heard something which makes a lot of sense to me. It's that in the first life, the devotee, this is what Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur said, the first life the devotee will chant with offenses, the second life he will chant trying to sincerely overcome all offenses, this Namabhasa. And on the third life, the devotee will chant in pure love of Godhead, and then he can go back to Godhead. This is a course for three lifetimes and chanting. It makes a lot of sense, because in our first introduction to Krishna in this world is his holy name. The holy name will simply only be an alphabet if there is no love. It is, you chant, you make the sound, but Krishna is not there. In the new book called Nam Rahasya, there is a secret how to chant in pure life, love in one lifetime. This is an advertisement so that you can buy the book. Well, it's not so easy that you just read a book.
Prabhupada said you can become Krishna conscious in one moment.
Yeah, and I personally believe that this statement refers to the quality of your chanting. How do you call for Krishna? Yeah, but don't look so sincere. You will all go to back to Godhead in one moment. This is absolutely sure. Come on. No. The devotee should give up speculations. When will I go back to Godhead? This is totally wrong. In the Prabhupada's books, a sincere, he describes a sincere devotee, he doesn't count on this. He doesn't think, next life I will go back to Godhead, look at me, and I will bring all my friends with me, and my CD player, and so on. Then there will be some good music, some good CDs in the spirit. The devotee thinks himself very fallen. This is humility is one sign of love. We will not think. We should not speculate about it. This is up to Krishna. Let us give it. We can't plan our going back to Godhead like we plan our journey to Delhi. Yes. Let's leave it up to Krishna. This is not a subject matter to be in anxiety about. Krishna knows. Great devotees pray, let me my love first for become blossomed. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, like a flower is picked not in the budding state, but when it is fully blossomed. So the devotee thinks, I want to be like a fully blossomed flower which gives pleasure to Krishna. I don't want to be in this. I don't think it's right if I'm in the spiritual world like a bud. This is what it means to be a devotee. He or she thinks about Krishna's pleasure, not about his or her own, and so on. Hare Krishna. So we will now have the last question. When is Pasharam? Now, oh sorry.
You gave this example of Mukunda, who was not truthful, and I would like to ask you if you could just maybe give a few examples for the devotee of today, when the normal devotee is not truthful.
I am the most renounced devotee in the world. I am the most advanced devotee of the world. That is called self-deception, which is very, very much there. There is something like diplomacy, saying things to gain really only one's own profit. Making diplomatic maneuvers, and so on and so forth. But let us not end with on this note. This is the idea. Yeah, we could talk many things about the devotee of today, but we want to hear about Krishna and become purified in our mind. I really have seen this is very important in our lives to hear about Lord Krishna personally, because this hearing about Lord Krishna has so much power that all the unnecessary disturbances of the mind are removed. Hare Krishna, I want to thank you very, very much for your kind attendance, and let us now plan a little bit. Tomorrow morning I will give the lecture in the temple. Those of you who wish to attend, please know we will have a lecture. We will not have